since last week. And I think that's really a powerful thing. Baptism, as we talked about again last night, is not an optional thing. It's a part of God's plan for salvation. Amen. So we need to take seriously the call to baptism. And in equal weight as the water baptism and what that means to be buried with Christ is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit's help to talk about the purpose that the Father sent him for. Amen. So if you would close your eyes with me and bow your heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. We want to welcome the Holy Spirit into this atmosphere and into our hearts tonight. He is the teacher. Jesus said when he comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. So Lord, we submit tonight. We humble ourselves and acknowledge, Lord, that we need the Holy Spirit. We need your Spirit in this room. We need you to teach through the preacher tonight. And we need you to open our ears and our hearts to receive the word of the Lord. We pray, God, tonight that yokes would be destroyed. We pray, Father, tonight that hunger would be ignited. And Lord, that a passion for the name of Jesus would be the end result of all of our talking, singing, and conversating tonight. May we love Jesus more than we did when we walked in these doors, when we walk out of them. If you're in agreement with that, again, say amen with me. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 8. Hallelujah. Now, can I ask you all to have some faith tonight? Amen. Can I ask you to have some energy tonight? Amen. See, I've been studying and praying and seeking the Lord all day. Don't leave me hanging tonight. This is for somebody. It may not be for you to get delivered, but someone in here may just need to be delivered tonight. Yes. You don't even know who's sitting in this room tonight. I remember 2 years ago, I think about 2.5 years ago, Brandon Harvey, who's a minister now, a very fruitful minister, was at a Bible study, and we were talking about water baptism that night and the change that was wrought in his life through the power of the Spirit. I didn't even know who he was, but he was there. I don't know who's here tonight. I don't know where you'll be a year from now. I know something's going to change for somebody when you hear the word of the Lord. Yes, sir. Amen. So Acts chapter number 8, I'm going to read to you a passage of scripture which is a little bit on a lengthy side, but if you would, bear with me here. We're jumping right into the midst of a story. Acts chapter number 8, we'll jump into verse number 4. This is after persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. It says in verse number 4, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." Verse 9. "But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Verse 13. "Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Keep reading. Verse 14. "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. What a dramatic story. Just think about what we just read for a moment. Churches of the Lord is being persecuted. Good thing is that in persecution comes the spreading of the gospel. In verse number 4, it says that they were scattered everywhere and they preached the word everywhere they went. Sometimes persecution is a good thing. I said it many times, you've probably heard me say it, but there's a good quote that says that Christians are kind of like tea bags. You can't get anything out of them until you put them in hot water. I pray that's not true for you. Sometimes we only serve God in the midst of a crisis. And sometimes we need to get, as my mom used to tell me, some fire up under your tail to get you moving. So it seems that this is what's happened. The church is being persecuted. The gospel spreads. Philip goes down to Samaria. Philip is an apostle. He goes down to Samaria, and God is confirming his word with miraculous signs and wonders. The scripture said that there were people who had demons cast out of them. People who were lame were being healed. People who were formerly sinners were confessing their sins and believing the gospel of the kingdom of God, and they even got baptized in Jesus' name. But in the midst of all of this movement and activity of the Holy Spirit, guess what was missing? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, you can be baptized, you can even believe, but you need the Holy Spirit. Do y'all understand where I'm going with this tonight? There are many people who have jumped in the water, have wept tears, and very genuine tears, have cried out to God, have asked the Lord to save them, but have not received the Holy Spirit. The scripture says at that point, let me go back to that verse. It says here in verse number 16, as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, when we talk again about this plan of salvation, you got to follow through with every step of the process. Amen. Amen. It's not just one quick decision at the altar. It's not just, hey, who would like to go to heaven? And you stand on your feet. It's not, hey, who confesses that they're a sinner? And you say, oh, I'm a sinner. But repentance, putting faith in the Lord, understanding what it means to be identified with his death and his resurrection, and receiving the power to live a holy life is the biblical plan of salvation. And so these people had put part one, part two, they believed, they were baptized in water, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. And I got a question for you tonight. How many of you have genuinely know in your heart of hearts you've received the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. Some people may be a little bit surprised tonight by some of the things I share with you. But tonight there's kind of three main things that to guide the message tonight. Number one, there's the reality of being touched by the Spirit. Just because you've been touched by the Spirit doesn't mean you're filled by the Spirit. Secondly, there is the reality of being filled by the Holy Spirit. And you got to be careful how you spell that word filled. F-I-L-L-E-D. Filled. As in you now contain the Holy Spirit. Not you felt the Holy Spirit. Not F-E-E-L. But filled with the Holy Spirit. And then there's the call to sanctification, which is the lifestyle of being led by the Holy Spirit. So you not only need to be touched by the Holy Spirit, you need to be filled by the Holy Spirit, and you need to live your life being led by the Holy Spirit. And I think that many people in the body of Christ have confused these three realities. That had a once upon a time experience of being touched by the Holy Spirit. Maybe you were in a service and you wept and you cried under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But then you went right back to living the way you were living before. Because that emotion wore off. Because the euphoria of that moment was no longer there. And so you go back to bondage just like Simon here because you had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing to me what he says to him. He says that you are bound by iniquity. Your heart has been poisoned. Well, this is a guy who just put his faith in Jesus and believed. And you would look at the story and say, well, maybe he was just a little bit misguided. Like, He didn't know no better. So he said, let me just offer you some money because I see that the Holy Spirit is given through the laying on of hands. And I used to be a guy who touched the supernatural realm, and I want that too. And now I just want to, it's kind of like, and I'm not trying to get on anybody here that's a rapper if you like Christian rap, but it's kind of like the people who, like, when they were bound by sin and just completely in the world, loved hip hop, and they had a dream to be the next great rapper. And then when they get saved, suddenly they want to be the next great Christian rapper. Just because you were desiring that in the world doesn't mean that God's called you to do that now. Now, there are some people who I believe God's given a gift to rap and things like that. But a lot of times people don't understand when you come to Christ, that old man has to die. You got to allow the Lord to rewire you. Amen. So it seems that Simon, he hasn't understood what the real purpose of the Holy Spirit, doesn't really seem to have understanding, but yet he's been baptized. And again, I want to be a faithful shepherd of the flock of God. When these 30 people who were baptized on Sunday, you know, even before the number got to 30, I met with the ones who had signed up and had said they want to be baptized before in a meeting before service. And I said to them, we don't want to baptize anybody that's not committed to discipleship. So if you're going to just come here and take the baptism as people take a Tylenol pill for a headache, this is not the service for you. Don't come up here because you've got some guilty conscience and you think this is going to make you better. There's no power in the water to wash your sins away. Unless you put faith in the blood of Jesus, this is not the baptism or the church for you. We want people who want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And then there's always the thin line, because you can't really judge a person's motives or heart. They may say they want to be a disciple and not be a disciple. And they may have just popped up in the service and the Lord convicted them, just as the Lord convicted me the day I was baptized. And so we opened the door for people to say yes. But ever since this past Sunday, I've had the spirit of the fear of the Lord very strong on me. And I've been in the sanctuary. I've been praying, God, please keep these people from the evil one. Lord, don't allow this to just be some quick fix, you know, sin management program. God, we want them to get delivered. And the Lord said, how will they be delivered unless they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That is perhaps just, again, water baptism is a step, but there's another step called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are countless people who show up at church every week, who come and they need counseling, and they got all kinds of questions about why they can't get victory, why they struggle with this sin, why they have this hang up. And I'll tell you, it's because you have not received the Holy Spirit. Maybe you were touched by the Holy Spirit. Maybe at one point you felt the Holy Spirit. Maybe you were legitimately filled by the Holy Spirit, but you're not walking after the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit today. Amen? And so that's what we want to address tonight, because again, as you see it in the news, I mean, it's a daily dose of horrendous news. Every time I turn on the TV, every time I scroll through Facebook, which is like the new CNN, we are aware of all of the evil in the world. And I'll tell you, without the Holy Spirit, you will not have the discernment to live in these times. Without the giving, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will not have the supernatural wisdom to navigate through all the deception which is everywhere around you. You won't have power. You will succumb to the spirit of this age. There's two spirits at work. It's the Holy Spirit who's in the world to convict the world of sin, of the righteousness of God in the coming judgment. And there is the spirit of the Antichrist, which is already in the world, which is coming to defy everything which is of the Word of God, which comes to oppose and counterfeit the true anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's two realities there, and you got to have discernment. That's why the scripture says, test every spirit, whether it be of God. Amen? And so that's tonight what we're in here for, is asking God for us who maybe been touched by the Spirit or filled by the Spirit at some point. We're asking the Lord tonight, God, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to assume and reflect on a memory we have, but God, baptize us with fresh fire even now. God, baptize us with fresh fire right now in my heart of hearts. I want to burn once again. Amen. I don't know if this is possible to do, so tonight might just be part one. We might have to wrap this up on Sunday. I might, you know, get back to this maybe even on Friday before we pray. But I'm not sure how we can to knock all this out, because, you know, the Bible has a whole lot to say about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, a whole lot to say. But I'm going to do my best to hit these main points. All right. All right. So I'm going to run through these. These are just some foundational points to make about the Holy Spirit. All right. Number one, the Holy Spirit's working cannot be understood by the natural mind. The things of the Spirit are perceived by the spirit man. If you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, the reality of the spirit realm is foolishness to you. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, even talking about the Holy Spirit is like, what are you talking about? Let's not start talking about demonic warfare and powers and principalities and fasting and prayer and breaking curses and strongholds and soul ties and gateways and doors that you open to uncleanness. We can't even have that conversation unless you are tuned into the Holy Spirit. And that's why I believe many people who would profess Christ these days are so bound, just as Simon was bound by iniquity, have hearts that are poisoned because they have not received the Spirit of God. The world of the spirit realm is opened up to you through the Holy Spirit. So number one, understand tonight that unless you are walking after the Spirit, you will not understand the things of the Spirit. It's foolishness. Number two point, the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's given by God. A gift. Some people strive and they're, trying to, do religious works to gain the Holy Spirit as if it's something that you earn or reward for good behavior. I got news to you. Stop the striving. Luke 11 teaches us that God is a good father. And he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will not the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If you want to receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, all you got to do is come before the Father and ask. It is a gift. It's not something that you get because you behaved well last week. Well, I was on my P's and Q's the last 5 days. I read the whole Gospel of John and I gave an offering. So, Lord, I received the Holy Spirit. No, it's not like that. The Lord freely gives the gift to those who have faith and believe in Jesus. If you truly have faith and believe in Jesus, you receive the gift. Amen? Amen. Point number three, and I'm just trying to go through these real quick before I get to the actual message here. But point number three, we know according to the scripture in John chapter 3 that the Holy Spirit is not given by measure. Let me try to explain a little bit what that means. When the scripture says that he does not give his spirit with measure, what that means is that it's not like the Holy Spirit is not this potion in a bottle where it's like, okay, well, here's a little bit today. Here's a little bit tomorrow. The Holy Spirit, the best way to try to picture how this works, I think, according to the scriptures, is just imagine Niagara Falls. Okay, it's a constant downpour, a powerful downpour. You will die if you get underneath Niagara Falls or any powerful waterfall for that matter. In the same way, the Holy Spirit of God is like that mighty rushing river. It's just constantly pouring and flowing. The only thing that changes is our capacity. So when we pray prayers or we say things like, we want more, Lord, what we're really saying is we want more capacity in our heart. We're not saying, oh God, we want you to do more. We're saying, God, help us surrender more. Help us yield more. Open up my heart more. I want to die to self. I want no more space for me inside of me. I want all of you. Increase my heart. How many of you have experienced the enlarging of your heart over the course of your walk with the Lord? That as you walk with God by faith, the Lord has taken your heart and expanded it. Things that you never thought you'd be able to do in God, or burdens that you never thought you maybe be able to bear, as you walk with God, he's expanding your heart. And that's how you get into the deeper mysteries of God. Again, a lot of times people, they will settle for that emotional experience they had. And the Holy Spirit does want to wreck your emotions, by the way. People say it's all just emotion. Well, it is emotion. God made you with emotions. It's not a bad thing to demonstrate your emotions and let the Lord take over your emotions. So don't get onto that thing and say, well, it's just emotions. It's some emotions. It should be. I don't understand. Honestly, I don't personally understand people who have no emotions. I mean, if you don't have any emotions, I guess that's the way the Lord is dealing with you. But I'm just saying, it's not a bad thing to have emotions. Some people I've had conversations with, they say, well, I just don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing the most because I'm dancing and I'm praying and I'm loud. And when the power of God comes over me, I just feel like fire shut up in my bones and I can't help but. And I say, more power to you. Anything that glorifies God and it's not done in the flesh or for show, let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number four here, and this is, again, this is a bit of a theological consideration tonight. We'll see here in a moment from the scripture. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is needed for salvation. Amen. You say, well, I thought it just took faith. It just takes faith in Jesus. Well, yeah, he who began a good work will complete it, but the work is completed through the Holy Spirit. You must receive the Holy Spirit to even live a holy life. You find somebody that's been able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit without receiving the Holy Spirit. It's not even possible. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the baptism. It's not even possible. The Holy Spirit teaches you. The Holy Spirit helps you. The Holy Spirit comforts you. The Holy Spirit gives you power. You can't be saved without the Spirit of God. So people say, well, it's just kind of like they see the Holy Spirit as a turbocharge for their walk with God. No, this is how you walk with God. This is not a supersize on your walk. This is not like some icing on the cake. This isn't an optional accessory. This is the power to walk after God's will and to submit to God, to serve. You can't live the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters number 5-7. You can't bless those who curse you. You can't pray for those who spitefully use you. You can't do any of the things Jesus commands you to do without the power of Jesus Christ. You try it, and I tell you, you won't make it very far. How are you going to love your enemies without the Holy Spirit? That's a supernatural thing. You are not going to love your enemies in your flesh. Even as saved as some of us think we are, it takes the Holy Spirit to keep us from retaliating. I've been walking with God a long time, and I'm telling you, I still need a filter. Somebody cuts me off on the freeway on my way to teach the Bible study about the Holy Spirit, and if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I would have cussed them out. Don't think there's any good thing in your flesh. Don't think that you have any righteousness of your own. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit leading you, which is why the devil wants you to grieve the Holy Spirit, which is why the devil wants you to cause the Holy Spirit to be quenched in your life, because when you start doing things that defy the will of God, such as watching TV shows that are totally against Scripture, listening to music, entertaining conversations, sinning, you grieve the Holy Spirit, your heart gets dull, and you lose discernment. And so the devil, when you start living in sin, puts you on a path of self-destruction, where he doesn't have to show up and attack you. You destroy yourself because you're not walking after the Spirit. The Scripture says, if you walk after the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when you have no discernment, you have no ability to follow the Spirit any longer, you will destroy yourself. Sin is your natural default behavior. We have a sin nature. People say, well, I don't know how many sins I've committed, but I don't think I've done enough bad to go to hell. That's not even how it works. You have a sin nature. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. There's nothing good in your flesh. By the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the flesh. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that flesh nature will still have power over you. You'll still be a fornicator. You'll still be a drunk. You'll still be a liar. You'll still be a cheater. You will not have victory without the Holy Spirit. So yes, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And going back to John, going back to even Matthew chapter number 3, the reason why John the Baptist, he said he baptized them with water of repentance, but he said, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, who was before me, and when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, he sends the Spirit on those who put faith in him. That's how you get victory over pornography. That's how you get free from bitterness in your heart against the person that molested you or lied on you. That's how you get over being a victim of an adultery. That's how you walk in forgiveness. It's by the Spirit. That old man is crucified by the Spirit. So you cannot be saved unless you've been filled by the Holy Spirit and are led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 It sounds like somebody's glad to be saved. It sounds like somebody knows what I'm talking about. How many of you had the blunt at your mouth, ready to light it up? Had the 40 ounce, had the shot glass, the wine bottle, whatever it was, about ready to do something crazy, and the Holy Spirit snatched you and said, no, 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 no. You belong to God. That's not for you. That's not for you. Fornication is not for you. Lying is not for you. Thank God that he sent his Spirit. Amen. He's not asking us to do this in our own power. Being saved is impossible unless you have the Holy Spirit. So when people say, well, I don't know if I need to tarry, I don't know if I need to receive the Holy Spirit, you only have a matter of time before you go back to your old ways without the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. I'm saying this as a living witness. Let me testify really quickly. I know good and well the day I received the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many times in life where you can receive a fresh baptism, but I know particularly as a teenager, I struggled with a lot of things. And I remember when I was filled with the Holy Spirit after I got baptized, I came out the water and I felt I had victory. I knew, it was like I had an instinctive sense that I had been forgiven and that I had power. It was just something on the, it was called the witness. It says in the scripture, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. And so that witness came inside of me. Suddenly I wasn't worried about going to hell any longer. I was now worried about pleasing the Father. So now holiness wasn't something I seen as an obstacle or something hard, but something now I delight in, and by the grace of God I want to be holy, not I have to be holy. I get to worship, I get to pray. It is an honor versus, oh, I want to be a good Christian, I want the people at church thinking I'm unfaithful, so let me show up to Bible study. No, when you get the Holy Spirit, your will changes. And I experience that. And I want to tell you today, if you don't have a blessed assurance that Jesus is yours, if you've not experienced the power of over the flesh and over demonic powers, then you can receive the Holy Spirit right now. You don't even got to wait till I'm done. You got to come before the Lord with a humble heart. That's the requirement, a humble heart. Broken spirit, a contrite spirit. Say, God, I need you. And when you do that, God is faithful to his word. Amen? It changes everything. It's what we call a game changer. The Holy Spirit. Everything changes. Amen. Where am I at? Point number 6. 5. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing, but it again is a lifestyle. Amen. I was going to walk through a bunch of scriptures with you, but even in the book of Acts, you can see that there are many times when people receive fresh fillings of the Holy Spirit. And actually, if you go back to John chapter number 20, I think it is, after Jesus resurrects from the dead and appears in a glorified form, he meets the disciples on the shore, he cooks breakfast for them, and after he gets through with that conversation, it says that Jesus breathed on the disciples and he said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." Now some people have debated, but was that the point of their regeneration? Because later on, that means to be born again. Because later on in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, wait, tarry in Jerusalem till you've been clothed with power from on high. So some people have said that, that moment of John 20 was where they were quickened with the Holy Spirit, and then they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit later on in Acts chapter number 2. But regardless of which one is the right interpretation of that, when you understand that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a lifestyle, it doesn't even matter. Because even if in John 20 of your life you receive the Holy Spirit, there's still Acts 2 season of your life. And if you read it again in Acts chapter number 4, after the threatenings broke out against Peter and John, it says that they gave themselves to prayer. And the scripture says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Time and time again, as they were filled with the Holy Spirit through prayer, through fasting, it became a lifestyle. Amen. Amen. The word baptize, or the word we translate baptize, comes from a word that means to dip or to plunge. That's where we get the word baptism from. In the water, you go down and you come right back up. When you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you stay in the fire. You are not supposed to come back up and breathe for air on your own. You're supposed to stay immersed. It's a lifestyle. This is why there are people who, you have seasons of your life where, oh, I was so on fire when I was 20, but I'm not so on fire when I'm 23. Well, nothing's changed other than your hunger level. The only thing that has changed is your decisions. You make new decisions now. When you were 20, you fasted, you prayed, you read the Bible. At 23, you're busy. It's no wonder. You have to maintain this lifestyle through fasting, through prayer, and surrounding yourself with like-minded people. If you start sitting at a table and having friendships with people who are bound by Satan, it won't be long before you take on the spirit of your friendships. I'm telling you, if you get around a bunch of gossips, you're going to become a gossip. It's just how it works. If you get around materialistic people who are completely engrossed in the things of this world and giving themselves to just materialism, all they think about is clothes and fashion, all these things, guess what will happen? You will be like that. If you haven't experienced that, trust me, it's not worth experimenting with. You will take on the spirit of your environment. So what I say to people is, there is a way to maintain the fire in your life, and it's just like any fire. Who has a fireplace or ever built a fire? Okay, you might have lit the fire, but guess what? If you don't keep putting fresh logs on the fire is going to die. Every time you come to the prayer meeting, every time you come to a Bible study, every time you crack open the Word of God, every time you feed your spirit with, you know, spiritual music or things like that, you're throwing logs on the fire. And the people who continue to keep the fire going are going to be the ones that continue to burn. This is not rocket science. But if you let there and you let your flame die out, it's nobody's fault but your own. Because when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, he's a counselor. And the Holy Spirit comes in your life, he counsels you, he teaches you, he shows you what is wrong and what is right. And when you start to watch those TV shows, you know that little voice that comes to hang out with you on the couch? Right about the time that, what's that show called? Scandal comes on. I have to do it. Right about the time that show Empire comes on, that little voice you hear, that's not the spirit of religion. It's the spirit of God saying, no, this is going to kill the fire. How dare you entertain yourself with adultery and scandals and you expect to have a passion for the things of God? You are what you eat. Okay, it's a real simple way to put it. You are what you eat. You want to work out? Okay, you can work out, you can lift weights, you can run, you can do all the cardio, you can do, but guess what? At the end of the day, the thing that determines your health is your diet.
Come on.
All the routine of working out, all those things are nice and part of the equation in some measure, but at the end of the day, if you keep going to McDonald's or starving yourself or not getting your vitamins or your nutrients, you will not be healthy no matter how many miles you run or how fast you run them in. The Word of God is the bread from heaven. And when you get in the Word of God and you, as Jesus again offended some of his followers, said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. What's that mean? It means to find your sustenance in him. And when you do that, you'll find that the Spirit of God is leading you and you'll live a lifestyle, amen, of being baptized. Amen. What is this, number six? I didn't number them, I just put dashes next to them. Where are we at? The next one, I'll just say the next one. Amen. The Holy Spirit, this is kind of a mute point at this point. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. Again, I should have said that first. But when we think about the Holy Spirit, don't think of a separate God. Okay? Some people got this understanding of the Holy Spirit as this different person. Let me just give you a real quick lesson on the Godhead. We do not have three gods. Okay? There's one God. He has manifested himself in three ways, which we call the Godhead, but there are not three separate gods. There is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's one God. And they say, well, and actually some theologians, they say the Great Commission is really the basis for the Trinitarian viewpoint. And again, I believe in the triune manifestations of God. That's very scriptural. We see that. Even at the baptism of Jesus, you've got the Son, who's being baptized, who hears the voice of the Father, and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove. I'm not denying the existence of God in these three manifestations of God, but we don't serve three separate gods. Okay? It's not. Some people honestly think that. And this is what, this, we gotta be careful with this, because some people say, well, the Father is mean. Because in the Old Testament, he was mean. And Jesus, he, you know, I kind of like Jesus as a Son of Man. And the Holy Spirit's my friend. I don't understand. God is God. Jesus in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells. Jesus has manifested the Father's name. John chapter 5, I think verse 43. He said, I've shown them your name, or I've manifested your name. He says later on in John that the Father will send the Holy Spirit in my name. And we know from Philippians that there's only one name. One name given under heaven, whereby men can be saved. It's the name of Jesus. The angel said, you shall call his name Jesus. That was the declaration. That was the fullness and the revelation of God in Christ Jesus. So don't think again of the Holy Spirit as this other God who hangs out with God.
Wow.
Like the Greek or the Roman mythology. No. There is one God. Now we might not be able to comprehend this because again we have a natural mind. So we can't understand all these things. But again, that's why we have faith in the Lord. Right now we're seeing through a glass that's dimly lit. But when we see him, just as he is, it's going to make sense. So I would say believe what's written in the Word of God. And don't let your faith be overthrown by something that's actually too lofty for you. Amen. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. Proverbs 25:2, I believe it is. Amen. How am I doing on time here? All right. Not too bad. Amen. Now, if you would, I want to just, if you would let me tonight, walk through a couple passages in the book of Acts. All right, so if you will, go with me to Acts chapter number 1. Is this making sense? And there's just some key observations I want to make here, and I'm just going to walk through them and point them out, and we'll just kind of flip through Acts 1 through, and we'll work our way up through Acts number 11 or so. Just a couple verses, rather, to point out to you. But Acts chapter number 1, notice here. And the reason why I'm doing this too is because I want you to see this for yourself. How many of you don't actually have a Bible, like an actual Bible with real pages? How many of you use your phone or your iPad? Or how many of you have a real Bible with you tonight? Amen. I would encourage everybody, if you don't have one, invest in one. There's something very powerful about actually reading the Bible for yourself in a real book. I'm all for apps and things like that. They're very convenient. But something special happens when you read the written word in an actual book. Amen. So just wanted to throw that out to you. That's, again, why we're going to let you see it for yourself. But Acts chapter number 1, again, just want to read verse number 4 and a few of these verses. It says, being assembled together with them. This is Jesus in his resurrected form, okay? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And again, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, again, most of you are aware of this point, but the purpose, one of the impacts of the Holy Spirit in your life, you do receive power. Yes. Amen. That's not a negotiable. Some people say, well, I received the Holy Spirit, but I don't believe in the gifts. You don't have the Holy Spirit. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, everything that is available through Christ Jesus, all the gifts of God are available today. Amen. You can walk in the power and the authority to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper. Do you believe that? Yes. There's power through the Holy Spirit that will channel through you. And then he says here, you shall be my witnesses. That word, again, is a word that's translated from the same word for martyr. So basically, when the Holy Spirit, this is one of the greatest evidence of the Holy Spirit, is that you live dead to self. You will be my martyrs. Could easily be translated that way. You will be my martyrs. That doesn't mean that everybody here is going to be martyred the way that the Christians over in Iraq are being martyred, per se. But you and I should live with a martyr mindset, which means that I live for one purpose. How many of you have that in your heart tonight? That the one purpose you're living for is for the glory of the Lord. And everything is about him. If God blesses your finances, it's so his kingdom can come. If God allows you not to have a lot of money, you have an occasion to bless him through what looks like poverty to the world and found that your hope is in God. Whatever circumstance, in sickness or in health, whatever we go through, we do everything now is unto the glory of God. That impact only happens through the Holy Spirit. When you meet people who are, again, consumed with this world and don't have the kingdom mindset, they don't have the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. I wish there was a nicer way to put it, but that's the reality, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he testifies. Jesus said, he will tell you all things which belong to me. The Father has given all things into my hand. He'll make them known to you. The Holy Spirit, when he's flowing and moving in your life, he makes known to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and your heart connects to heaven when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now, if you would, jump over to Acts chapter number 2. Just a couple observations here. Amen. For time's sake, let's just go here to verse number 4. Now, after the Holy Spirit appeared to them, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right. So, one, again, popular passage of Scripture. But again, the speaking in tongues, some people would say, well, that's just a Pentecostal thing. No, no, no. They all spoke with tongues. There was no denominations back then. Okay, so I hear you and you're thinking. You're saying, are you saying we're all supposed to speak in tongues? Yeah. Yeah, I'm willing to say that on the Scripture. I also believe that you're all supposed to prophesy. I also believe that every gift that God has made available, you are available. You have access to it. Paul said, he told the Corinthians, I don't want you to come short in any gift. He said, but above all, that you may prophesy. But then he talks about the more excellent way. So yeah, you can have the gifts and really be meaningless if you don't walk in love. But my point is here that there are a lot of people who say, well, because you don't speak in tongues, that it's not for everybody. It's available to everybody. They all spoke in tongues. It wasn't five of them. It was all of them. And I tell you, if you want the gifts of God, you can seek them and receive them. Oh, I'm coming up against the Antichrist spirit now. Can I say something real quick about gifts of the Spirit? Do you know that God is, first of all, think about this. God created everything. There is nothing in creation that is without purpose. Every single aspect of creation has an assignment and a purpose. The ecosystem, every system in your body, every little part, your toenails have a function, honeybees have a function, grass blades have a function, gnats have a function, bacteria has a function. Nothing that God made was without purpose. God gave different gifts for purposes. One of the purposes, this is just one of the purposes of the gift of speaking in tongues, is so that you can commune with God in a deeper, intimate way. Just like in an arsenal of weapons, you got different weapons that are for different targets. The gifts of the Holy Spirit all have a purpose. Prophecy, as Paul said, is so you can edify and bless other people. Healing, obviously, people who are sick and need healing can be healed. The gift of tongues, Paul said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. There's a false teaching that says that when they were speaking in tongues in the book of Acts, it says, oh no, they were just speaking in other languages. They weren't speaking in mysteries. No, the Bible actually says this. Read this for yourself in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. He who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but speaks to God. It's a heavenly language. And when you speak in tongues, how many of you speak in tongues? And again, this is not something to wear like a badge of honor, but how many of you have experienced the benefit of speaking in tongues? I'm telling you, guys, you can try this on your own. We come in here every Friday night to pray. How many of you have struggled to tap into the Spirit? If you haven't, you lied, because everybody struggles in the flesh. Bible says that we don't know what to pray. Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession through us. Groanings, utterings, things that can't even be uttered. There's a supernatural connection as you pray in tongues. And then suddenly, sometimes things that were never on your mind all day long suddenly pop into your mind. You might go into a vision of seeing people over in China. And then the next thing you know, you're praying and interceding for China. Praying in tongues is one of the main ways we can get transported into the divine counsel of God, if that makes sense. Kind of like when you log on to the internet. Okay, you can have the internet. You know, what is the internet? What is it? Can you grab it? Can you touch it? No, it's in an invisible realm. But when you log on to your computer, you now have access to everything that's on the World Wide Web. You can have the antenna up, you can have the power to the computer on, but till you log onto the network, you're not going to be able to access the information highway. And praying in tongues is how you log on, if that makes sense. So some of you wonder why you don't understand the scripture, don't understand what's going on in your life. I'm telling you, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray and ask God for the gift if you don't have that gift. And then as you begin to pray in the Spirit, son, I promise you, you will get clarity. Situation will start to make a whole lot more sense. That's one of the purposes of that gift. It isn't just so we can get up here and say, well, I got it, and I'm one of them too. No. God has a purpose for that. It's called getting into the realm of the Spirit, and that's one of the best ways you can do it. There's other ways, but that's one of the most powerful and best ways you can do it. Amen. So the only point I want to really make there is that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in tongues. Amen. Now, if you would, go with me to Acts chapter number 4. Hope I'm not boring, y'all. Acts chapter number 4. Again, I talked about this much tonight, the lifestyle of the baptism, living in the overflow. Look just for a moment at verse number 8. After they had asked him by what power, by what name he had done this, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Then he begins to preach the gospel. Then the threatenings come. Verse number 23, it says that being let go, they went to their own companions, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. So they begin to pray. Then what happens next? If you go over here, verse number 29, he's still praying. He said, now look, Lord, upon their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's a constant thing where you can always get under that overflow. Amen? Amen. Life drains you. Yes. People drain you. Yes. Money, funny troubles will drain you. Anything that has a potential to distract you can drain you. But again, you can see from the examples of the book of Acts that through prayer they got refilled more and every time. It's a constant filling. The fire is always burning. Amen? Jump in it. Where are we going to go next? Acts chapter 9. Skip over a couple pages. Acts chapter number 9. We already looked at Acts chapter number 8. But Acts chapter number 9, this is a story of Saul who's converted on the road to Damascus. And this is profound to me. Verse number 10 says, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am. The Lord said, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Now, just to sum this up for you, he says that you're going to go in and lay hands on him and he might receive his sight. Ananias is a little scared at first, but eventually he agrees. So then if you go to verse number 17, he meets him. He says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. The point here to make is the plan of salvation. Again, you see it in the life of Saul, who we knew as Paul, or know as Paul. He was water baptized, and he received the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. This is not, again, for a certain group of people. This is anybody that's been saved the Bible way. Amen. A couple more to look at. If you go down, let's see here, where are we at? Acts chapter number 9. If you would, look at verse number 31. It says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. These are the signs of a Spirit-filled congregation or community. A lot of times people think that the Holy Spirit has given us this out to where we can kind of like live in your kind of way because, oh, I'm loved by God. And, you know, the Holy Spirit does comfort us, but the comfort comes from the fear of the Lord. Amen. And we want to see this. I didn't have time to look at it. I believe it's Acts chapter number 5. If you go back and read about Ananias and Sapphira, different Ananias. But remember what happened when they had sold the deed to the land and they only bought a partial profit at the apostles' feet? And what did he say? He said, you thought you could lie to the Holy Spirit? And they dropped dead. See, sometimes under grace, it's easy to forget that God is still holy. So he had to remind these people in the day one beginnings of the church that, yes, grace has appeared. Yes, you're not saved by works, but God's nature has not changed. If you lie to the Holy Spirit, there is judgment coming. The same thing that, again, Peter says in Acts chapter number 8 to Simon. He was like, you're bound by the devil. Your heart is poisoned. You better pray that God spare you. Oh, you can't talk like that. We're under the grace of God. God doesn't deal with his people any longer like that. What's the Bible say? That's my only answer these days. If you don't agree with the Bible, we can't even have a conversation. If you want to, this is my only common ground with anybody that wants to talk about God. If you don't agree with the Bible, then we don't have nothing to talk about because this is the only thing I believe. I'm not putting your favorite theologian above it. This here is the Word of God. You know, today I read a story about there's a politician who's actually trying to get a law passed. This is so demonic. Trying to get a law passed to get a new translation of the Bible rendered. And he's recruiting like all these notable theologians that are asking, you know, we need to reinterpret the Bible because times have changed. And basically has to do with this homosexual agenda that they don't want people to agree with the Bible. He said, well, the times have changed and the Bible was written so long ago, so it's no longer relevant. And the only way for, you know, there to be peace in our society is if people stop believing the Bible. So we just need to write a new Bible. You can write all the new Bibles you want. There is only one sure word. Amen. And in heaven and earth, everything can pass away, but not one single jot or tittle from the Word of God will pass away. Even this past week, I think it was a joke, but I actually found out it was serious. They got the Bible of Jesus or Jesus, and they replaced God's name with Kanye West's name, where it says Jesus and every Jesus. That's one of his names, I guess. But this is blasphemy. And it's happened all around us. You might think that this is a joke, but people are buying into that. A couple years ago, I think it was in 2011, the 400-year anniversary of the King James translation. You know how they celebrated it? They made a new translation of the Bible called the Rainbow Translation. And they removed the scriptures that had to do with homosexuality. I'm telling you, get you a Bible that was not made up in the last 50 years and believe what it said, okay? And I hate to break it to you, we're not going to get on Bible translations tonight, but find you one that was invented before this agenda got to where it's at today, because the Word of God is under attack. Man, but here's what the thing, again, about the Holy Spirit. This will comfort you. I was kind of like in my prayer closet the other day asking the Lord, saying, Lord, I really don't even know where to begin. There's so much false doctrine. How do I even deal with these questions that people bring to me about hell, about judgment? And this is a comfort I got from the Lord, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. If you have the Holy Spirit, you've got the perfect translation. I'll leave it at that. Let it bear witness with those who it bear witness with. But again, a couple more. Thank you for your time tonight. Hope, again, is this making sense to you all? Acts chapter number 10, if you would. This is powerful. Acts chapter number 10 is a story about Cornelius. And this is amazing to me. Acts chapter number 10, look at the beginning of it. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion who was called, of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man who feared God with all his household and who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now I'm going to sum this up for you. He's fasting and an angel shows up to him and he says, go and send for Peter. He tells him, where is he staying at? He says, go and send for Peter and he will tell you what you must do to be saved. Think about this for a minute. This man's profile. He is a man who is fasting and praying, who gives generously and fears God, yet he's not saved. Y'all didn't catch this. He's fasting, he's praying, he fears God, he gives generously, and yet he is not saved. But because of the sincerity of his heart, God sends an angel and says, your heart is in the right place, but you still got to obey the process of how salvation works. So I'm going to do so much. I'm going to send Peter to you. God, at the same time, Peter is found praying on the rooftop, and you know the vision. God says to him, don't call what God calls clean unclean. And he, long story short, he goes with them, and to sum this up, he gets to Cornelius' house, and the moment he begins to preach the gospel, it says, while he was yet speaking, while he was preaching his sermon, he said, the Holy Ghost fell on them just as it fell on the people in Jerusalem. I want you to read that for yourself. This is so powerful. Jumping down, Acts chapter number 10. Verse number 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking this word, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. A man who's praying and fasting, who fears God, who's a big giver at the synagogue, but yet you have not been filled and you've not been baptized. You have not heard the words of life yet. And you should, in your own time, we're not going to go through this tonight, but study what Peter preached. If you want to find a message that the Holy Spirit's going to back up, this is the best example right here. If anytime God's going to convict people while you're still preaching and you're just going to start erupting in tongues while I'm talking, that means God is saying, yeah, what he's saying is right. Go study the doctrine of what he preached. He's preaching about the judgment to come. It's right in line with what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. He said, when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin. That means when a preacher's not preaching against sin, the Holy Spirit is nowhere to be found. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness. Jesus said he convicts the world of righteousness because I go to the Father. What does that mean? Jesus was their example and he was their teacher of righteousness. Without Jesus in their life, they didn't have anyone to teach them what the true righteousness from the scriptures was all about. But when Jesus said, I go to the Father, he's saying the Holy Spirit is now going to teach you righteousness. Amen? And then he says of the coming judgment. Well, I thought Jesus paid it all on Calvary. He paid it all so that by faith men can be justified. Not an arbitrary justification, not a general justification, not a universalist. You know, there's preachers today who used to believe the Bible, who now they preach universalism. You know what that is? God loves everybody. Who am I to judge? Some of y'all might have taken that bait. Well, it's not really our place to judge. Yes, it is. The Bible says that we judge with righteous judgment. We judge those who profess to be Christians with righteous judgment according to the Word of God. That means if you profess to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to judge based on the Word of God. Somebody who's out there that's not claiming Christ, I'm not judging them. The Bible says that God will judge those who are outside. But we are supposed to judge those in the church who say they live holy, but yet they live an unholy life. And we see it. If you come up here talking about, I love Jesus, and you're bound by homosexuality, with love and compassion, we reach out to you and we tell you the truth. That thanks be unto God, you can be delivered and set free. If you got any issue of sin whatsoever, you can be set free. That's called righteous judgment. We're not going to hold back because we're worried about offending people. Jesus said, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That means if you preach the gospel, folks are going to hate you. I'm telling y'all, read the gospel of John. Jesus had this big following. His disciples were multiplying. He had this huge following. And then he turns around one day and he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're like, Lord, this is a hard saying. And then he said, well, it doesn't even matter because unless it's been granted to you of the Father, you can't come to me. And it says from that point on, they turned around and walked away and they didn't follow him any longer. See, that's why the Bible says that Jesus didn't give himself to men because he knew what was in the heart of men. That's when people come up here. And again, if you were baptized on Sunday, I've been praying for you for that reason. Because it's too easy to say, yes, I want to get wet. It's too easy to say, yeah, I'll go into cold water and come up 30 seconds later and be fixed. But no, you've got to walk this walk with Christ day by day. You've got to be led by the Spirit after you've been baptized in the Spirit. And you can't settle for just being touched by the Spirit. Some of us, we spend our whole life waiting for our next touch and we're not willing to be baptized and filled. We just come to church when we did something wrong and we need to clear our conscience. Oh, I'm going to go to the prayer meeting this week because I just fornicated and got drunk. No, you need to come to prayer meeting and receive the Holy Spirit and have the yoke of bondage broken off of you so you walk in victory every day from that day forward. You say, well, I don't believe that we can walk in victory every day. The devil is a liar. If you receive the Holy Spirit, you have power over the flesh. I don't know how many more ways or how easier that scripture could be. You have power and authority. Unbelief doesn't have power over you. The Holy Spirit leads and guides you. And you can walk in victory. That's why I'm so happy. One more and I'll close it up here. If you flip all the way back to Acts chapter number 19. This is Bible study, so I pray that you're learning. We're almost done here. Thank you again for your patience. But Acts chapter number 19. It happened in verse number 1. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth. That Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What do you mean? That's what they basically said. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said to him, we have not even heard about the Holy Spirit. All he told us was to repent and believe in the Lamb of God who was coming to take away our sins. We believe that. We were baptized. So he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. He said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to a people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is how it works. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And there was 12 men there. And then it says, and when he went to the, this is a point that I want to make though. Keep reading. It says, he went to the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. There were people who had received the Holy Spirit, but their hearts became hardened. Because see, when you start to preach about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, You start to ruffle people's feathers, just like it was with Simon's case, just like it was with Jesus' case with the disciples when he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. When you really start getting into the Bible, people will suddenly get a hard heart. Well, when you preached about love and the marriage supper of the Lamb and us being the bride of Christ and all my sins being washed away and the grace of God and me no longer having condemnation, I said yes and amen, and I cried and I filled out the card and I joined the church. But don't start talking about a holy lifestyle. Don't start talking about honoring God with your money and your time and putting Jesus first in all areas of your life. Nah, I don't want to do that. Don't start talking about stopping that cussing and the drinking. Don't get on that. I like the grace message. And this is what happens. Paul is, these people just got through prophesying and speaking in tongues. But it says, as he preached to them the things concerning the kingdom of God, their hearts were hardened. And I tell you, don't allow your heart to be hardened. That's why, again, coming full circle, it's not enough to be touched and just have this baptism experience. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit, I close with these points. When you really receive the Holy Spirit, he comes to, what's the best way to put it without being offensive? He comes to demolish the interiors of your heart. It's like a wrecking crew comes in. Have you guys ever seen, right now, I think they're still doing it, down on Broad Street, the old Vest Memorial. Have you guys driven past there lately? That was a landmark in the city of Columbus, been up for years. And I drove past there not too long ago, and I mean, that whole thing was like torn down. I'm like, what happened to the Vest Memorial? But they're making room for something that will put that old building to shame. I begin to think, well, Lord, what about all that money they spent in the carpeting and the tile and the walls and the plumbing and the electrical work? And I remember we even had a service there back in the early 90s, this great big auditorium and all these rooms. And the Lord said, no, that thing got to come down because there's something greater coming. The Holy Spirit comes in to demolish your old way of living, your old way of thinking. The way that all things become new is not this instantaneous, suddenly God just takes his scepter and you just get this supernatural new mind and new spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit. He says, put to death the deeds of the flesh. So then God starts working on you. The Holy Spirit does not come to pick on you. He's not come to bother you. He's come to make you holy. The ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make us holy in Christ Jesus and prepare for the day of the Lord. So thank God for the gifts. Thank God for the power. But God wants to make you holy. So this is why, again, some people don't walk after the Spirit because they don't want the walls to come down. We got a whole room in our heart called bitterness room. You got another room in your heart called, if it feels good, do it room. And God says, no, I'm tearing down every single wall. You got a room in your heart called laziness. God said, nope, I'm tearing that down. You got a room in your heart. You can imagine all the different rooms and areas of our life that God says, I'm demolishing that. And what I'm going to raise up together with Christ is so beautiful on that day. It's like a bride who's been made ready. There's no racism. There's no judgment, no criticism, no fault finding. God is going to raise up a pure people. How does this happen? Through the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your Spirit that you give without measure. Lord, there's people in this room.